Welcome back, everybody. 15 good minutes. This is Coach BJR. How are you today, buddy?
Doing good, man. You know, I'm doing well. Getting ready for our trip.
Cool. Freddie, what's up, man?
I'm good. Are you? I had to check to see if you actually had a tie on.
Right there. Yo, there's a lot going on in sports right now, so I figured the easiest thing to do is we're going to just do a hot takes episode. So I'm just going to give you guys a topic. Tell me the first thoughts you have. Keep it at a high level, and we're going to burn through them. So let's jump right in. I'm going to start with you, JR, and then move over to you, Freddie. First topic, women's NCAA championship game was over. It was between Iowa and South Carolina. South Carolina won. What's your first thought on that game?
I thought it was a good game. You know, there was a couple calls I didn't like, but for the most part, they couldn't contain Caitlin at one point. I mean, she wasn't the end all the be all of the game, but she ended up, you know, putting the shots up that they needed to get extra points with. You know, I thought it was a good game. I really did.
Freddie, your take on the women's national championship game?
Well, I started watching the game probably about 4 minutes left in the second quarter because we had nice weather. So I was actually out of my pool and I was thinking, I was like, you know, I should mount a television on the patio and I could watch the game. I was like, you remember in Rocky? Apollo Creed was in the pool watching the fight and everything.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, I thought the game overall it was a great game. The biggest thing that I thought South Carolina was gonna win, and ultimately they wore them down, you know, grind them up or whatever. But for me, the biggest takeaway is now for next season, who's gonna be the next star in college basketball? You know, that was the biggest takeaway. Caitlin's gone, you know, Angel Reese is gone. I mean, I don't know what the policy is, you know, with the WNBA and players declaring for the draft. Is it one and done? Is it three or whatever the case may be? But for me, the biggest takeaway was who's going to be the next star next year in women's basketball. That's what I was looking for.
Fair enough. I had a couple of hot takes on it. First was I thought that, and I don't know whether to blame ESPN or the NCAA, but to your point, to put that caliber of a game on at 3 p.m. Eastern in the afternoon was ridiculous. Why were they not in a prime time slot? Why do the men's game start at 9:15 when on a night where there's no NBA action and they get all this? When you look at the track record, Freddie, of the attendance, not just in person, but the TV attendance for all those women's playoffs games going up to that game, it was fantastic. And those were regular evening games, but you take that championship game and you put it on at 3:00 PM. That's got to stop. That was a mistake. Secondly, I didn't have any doubts that South Carolina was the better team. I'm one of the people that's probably I'm not tired of Caitlin. I think she's a good person. I'm just tired of all the I felt like and still feel like the media wanted her to win in a bad way. And I saw a story on NBC afterwards that talked about how, you know, game's over. And instead of, you know, focusing on the team celebrating on the floor, they all went with Caitlin. They all went with Caitlin. And if I can draw a parallel, and we'll get to it a little bit later, the de facto best player in men's basketball was Zach Edey statistically. When that game ended and they lost, they show him walking off, shaking hands, and he's gone. Yeah. Caitlin, everywhere. What you doing? The whole time. And to me, that took away from what Dawn Staley and those folks did to be undefeated. Mm-hmm. Undefeated. Those actions, to me, say you really, really wanted her to win because you wouldn't let it go. Everywhere she went, from the table, they spent an equal amount of time watching the loser, almost, as they did the winner. I thought that was an injustice. So I'm going to pivot to you then, Freddie. Next one I got on the list is the men's NCAA championship game recently. You got a repeat winner with the UConn Huskies over Purdue. What's your quick take on that game?
Well, of the three of us, I think I was the only one that picked UConn, right?
I knew you were going to bring that up. It's not on my note sheets, but okay, sure. I'm just, yeah, one person on the team picked the game, right? I wasn't going to mention it, but there it is.
I mean, I thought the game was pretty good. You know, as I was texting last night, I thought it was a good game. I paid attention a little bit more to Zach Edey. His next step in his career is going to be very interesting, and I think where he ends up is going to be very important for his longevity in the NBA. I saw a lot of times to where, you know, it was almost reminiscent to what NC State does. They have this big guy, you put him in the middle, and, you know, he back you down and just throw a shot up, right? It's almost like it's a gimmick, right? You know, but I thought the game was pretty good.
JR, your take on the game. Purdue went up against a champion and it didn't work out for him. What'd you see?
I saw a couple of things. The game was supposed to be the battle of the big men, which it was the battle of the big man. But Klingon did what he was supposed to do. He kept eating going right, and Edie's only problem with me. I picked Purdue, of course. I think Edie's problem was he didn't have any help. Their bench even didn't even help. Their bench had like, I think, 2 points versus 13. UConn had 13 off the bench. He was really doing it all himself. You know, so
I think that was the strategy. We talked about that too. Let him get his, and he did. Also, I think before they took him out in the second half, he was cold in the second half. He wasn't hitting nothing. Correct. And so he looked like he was gassed because he was going, you know, in the end, to your point. They just didn't have any help. And so I didn't think it was UConn's bench as much as it was every player that started was in double figures. That's a balanced attack.
Yeah, that's balanced. But what I'm saying is the help, you got to have somebody saying, help. What's his name?
To me, the help starts with your starters before you get to your bench. Yeah. And I'm saying Purdue's starters will watch. Yeah. So,
I think that 13-2, that's what? 11 points right there. You know, so I don't know. Well, maybe they just don't have the same firepower. Their three-pointers, there was only like 1 3-point made by Purdue.
Yeah, but we've seen that too with other teams in this tournament. You know, Freddie said it. You live by the three, you die by the three.
Yeah, that's true.
I think what they did, in my opinion, what Purdue did to get away from themselves, were they weren't, to me, the threes weren't even part of the game plan. They assumed we're going into the middle and we can beat you that way. And with UConn, if you're trading buckets, you're losing. And if you're trading twos for threes, you're losing. And you don't have the depth that they have. Three of those facets. So congrats to UConn. You know, I think they did a real novel job of coaching, scouting, and executing at the highest level. So congrats to them. Tell me if you're up to speed on what's going on with the MLB Players Association and the MLB. Are you guys up to speed on what's happening there? If not, I'll skip it. But
enlighten us. Let us know what's happening.
Right now, the MLB Players Association is saying on behalf of Major League pitchers that the reason there's so many pitchers on the injured list right now is because of the pitching clock, and that y'all making the pitching clock make the pitchers have to throw too fast. That's what's causing them to get hurt. Major League Baseball is coming back and saying, bullshit. What's making you get hurt is everybody's trying to increase their spin rate and they're trying to increase their speed. So you're throwing beyond your capacity. So there's a big fight going on right now between the Players Association and the league, because the Players Association wants to get rid of the pitch clock. And then we go back to them 4-hour games again. Step off the mound, step on the mound. I like the pace of baseball right now. I don't know that I have a take on it. I haven't done any analytics.
I think it could be a little bit of both, what the MLB
and the Players Association. I think
it's a little bit of both.
Makes sense. You know, they're going to have to come to terms. That thing's still going on. Next big thing is, the news that Coach Cal is leaving Kentucky, going to Arkansas. Got that. What I want to know from you guys is, give me one or two names that you think will be the next, who could be the next coach at Kentucky. I'll start with you, JR.
I really don't have a clue, who could be their next coach. I really don't.
All right, Freddie, you got a thought?
To be honest with you, I thought they already had somebody lined up that they wanted.
They might, you know. But I wanted to know who you thought would be, because there's a lot of people in that pipeline. Interested to see what you guys think.
I would think, for me, if you're going to look within the program, someone familiar with the program, I would say possibly Rod Strickland. Or is Tubby Smith still coaching? You know, he's not coaching anymore. If that's just internal, but then the external person that you check in to see if, you know, he's interested, was Oates and
Nate Oates.
Nate Oates.
Yeah. Nate's a good choice. He is on the list. And to your point about a former, someone who's familiar with the program, they're reaching for Billy Donovan, oddly enough.
Donovan, okay.
Because he was an assistant. It's going to take a lot to get him, you know, to lead. He got Chicago in the playing game right now in the NBA. So, but the two front runners are Hurley from UConn and Scott Drew from, where is he at? Baylor, I think, right? Isn't that what Scott Drew? I think he's the coach at Baylor.
You think Hurley would leave UConn? You think
he's going to entertain the conversation? I truly believe that.
I read somewhere where he said he's not planning on leaving.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of coaches before too.
Yeah,
I really have. Right,
they heard the dollars.
The fact that Kentucky doesn't have to do a buyout for Cal—that's a fresh $33 million that they can play with when they're having this conversation. And I think what Freddie said earlier, you got to remember that. You know, it's like, this is when we were talking between the three of us. You know, that fan base. It's unlike anywhere else. That whole town is actually in Lexington. There's some extremely smart basketball folks, but I don't think you can have your cake and eat it too. You want the one and done guys, but you also now want to be playing on the last Monday in April, like we saw this week. Also on the list, y'all, the X Factor guy who's on that list right now is Jay Wright. They're trying to.
You know something? I was about to say, would you think somebody would come out of retirement like
the
Jay
book
Wright?
On the book on Coach Wright, though, is that one of the reasons that he loved Villanova so much is one of the schools where you can be that type of coach who's won two natties and walk around town. No, you can have a private life. Mm-hmm. You cannot have a private life if you take that job in Lexington. So be interesting to see, one, who they offer it to, and two, who ends up taking that.
I wouldn't take it. It's just, I think the expectation there,
yeah,
is too much.
Unreasonable.
People with money, everybody got something to say. And I think Colin Perry probably got tired of it.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'll ask anyway. Either you guys follow golf? And if so, are you up? Okay, so Freddie's answer is no.
No, I haven't watched the whole. I watched maybe 15, 20 minutes and I was doing something else. In fact, I went to something else, and so I didn't see it all.
It hasn't started yet. No, that's what I'm saying.
They just had something this weekend. They just had something. I thought that's what you was going to talk about.
No, this is Masters Week, which is really, really big. Okay. And I was going to ask you if you guys had somebody you were pulling for. I'm assuming you don't. So I'm going to say for the group, we're all three of us. We're going for Scottie Scheffler. That's what I think can win. But my heart is going to be with Rory. I like to see Rory break that streak and see if Rory can get it. So what I'm going to do for our people to watch our show this week, you know, Golf DMV, they did an entire breakdown on it. I think it just released today. I haven't watched it or heard it, but I'm going to put a link to theirs. And they do a great job on these majors. And this is a big major. Everybody's looking forward to that one. So that's really all we had time for today. There was so much going on. I had to break out the coach's clipboard and go through some of this week's hot takes. Before we get out, let me see if these fellas have something to say. JR, I'm going to start with you. You got something to say today?
No, I'm good today.
Fair enough. Freddie, how about you?
I'm just going to make it quick. I haven't really paid much attention to any sport, really. You know, obviously football and everything, but basketball, this sequence of basketball that we're seeing now with the NBA wrapping up and college basketball, the men's and the women's game, I think this has been the best sequence that we've had for basketball, professional and college, in a very long time.
But to Freddie's point, we talked about it a little bit last week. I think it's been a great college basketball season. Couldn't ask for more. A lot of parity in the game, men's and women's, lots to talk about. I'm probably not as enthusiastic on the NBA as Freddie is. I'm gonna give it an eye. But I'm coming off the last couple of weeks of seeing people moving out the ball, seeing great defense, seeing some good high-low action. And now I got to go to, okay, all five of y'all get out there, shoot a three. Nobody plays defense now. We're going to score 150 and see who, yeah. You know, that's a hard switch for me, JR, but I'll get there. Plus,
UConn did a good job of that, passing the ball around last night.
They look like a maze. Everybody's moving, you know. And then, you know, NBA playoffs. What, they go to the 4th of July now? So they'll be playing for quite a while. I know it's at least mid-June. So we got plenty of basketball coming. So that's it. I got nothing to say today. Appreciate you guys jumping in. We will not tape next week because I'm going to be on the road in Florida. So hope you guys have a great weekend and then a great week to follow. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks.